Welcome to Wealth Beyond Riches with Abby Henderson, CEO, wealth advisor, and coach at Abaris Financial Group. In this podcast, we help generous, fun, and passionate professionals overcome their biggest financial concerns while leveling up their lifestyles based on their values. We do this by exploring the five levers, which represent the diverse resources each person possesses throughout their lifetime. These levers encompass finances, health, mindset, relationships, and time, offering a holistic approach to personal development and growth. Join us on this transformative journey as Abby and her guests draw from years of experience to guide you in achieving your life goals while staying true to your values. But that's not all. This podcast will equip you not just to build personal wealth, but also to understand how your prosperity can contribute to the betterment of the world around you. By exploring strategies for giving back and making a positive impact, we'll empower you to create a life of significance and leave a lasting legacy of positive change.
Hello, and welcome to the Wealth Beyond Riches podcast with your host, Abby Henderson, where we talk about enriching your life in every way. I'm Wendy McConnell. Hi, Abby.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
I am great.
Oh, so nice to hear.
Well, we've got a fabulous topic today. So,
I have a lot to be excited about. What are we talking about?
So, I have a question for you first.
Oh, put me on the spot. Okay.
I think this will probably be an easy one, but I could be wrong. So, I'm curious, do you ever get that feeling like you're a little hamster on a hamster wheel and you're running, and you're getting really tired? And you have no idea where you're going, but you're still running.
Every day?
I haven't met anyone that doesn't resonate for, at least on occasion.
Yes, it does resonate with me.
So at my firm, we have come up with a process to help you get off that hamster wheel, or at the very least, know where you're going.
Sign me up.
I thought you might be interested. Okay. I thought our listeners might be interested.
All right. So what is it that you call this?
So we call it our model of authentic wealth. And then we have basically a three-step process to use that model to get off the wheel.
Okay. What are the three steps?
So, because we like alliteration, the three steps are discover, dream, and design.
Okay. All right. That sounds great. So cool. Let's start. Let's walk through the three steps. Tell us about the first one.
Okay. Step one, which was discover, has two parts to it. The first part is clarifying your values. And then part two is clarifying your desired impact.
Okay. So how do we define values?
Lots of ways to define values. The way we define it is, what are the things, what are the ideas, concepts that you personally hold to be important and make you feel fulfilled when you're expressing them?
Let me ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
Do you find that many people know what makes them feel fulfilled?
Not unless they've done an exercise like this.
Okay. So why do so many people not even think about stuff like this?
It's the hamster wheel.
We don't time?
I think it's a combination of lack of time, but also getting into a rut. So getting into just a pattern of behavior that you keep repeating without really thinking about it.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds about right. So yeah. Talk to me about alignment.
So, well, can we take one step back and talk about how you even figure out what your values are?
Yes, please.
Cool. So I think there's a lot of ways to do it. And the first easiest way is just to sit down with a piece of paper and start asking yourself some questions. So some of the questions I like to ask are, what brings me a sense of peace or ease? You can ask yourself, most people can actually name where their happy place is. So think about your happy place and think about why it makes you happy. What are you doing when you get that great feeling where you've lost track of time? You know, that sort of flow state where you start something and then all of a sudden it's 4 hours later and you don't know where the time went.
Yeah, it's been a long time, but that's a great state to be in.
Yeah, it's the best. And hopefully this process gets you there more often as a side note. And then I like the Powerball question. So Wendy, if you won Powerball, what might be one or two things you'd do with that money?
Well, I guess I'm supposed to say I would help my family pay off mortgages, that kind of stuff. But I would travel the world. Okay. I would spend like a month or so in different countries that have interest to me and really immerse myself in the culture. And then when I get tired of it, I move on to the next country.
So what is it that's important to you about immersing yourself in culture?
Just different ways of life to see how other people live, to not miss out on anything.
So is there, I'm not attached to this, but I think I might hear you saying that there's like a love of learning new things.
I wouldn't have thought that a few years ago, but I think so. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay. So that might be a value, learning or learning new things, travel, adventure. Did there's a little adventure in there maybe?
Definitely adventure. You know, it's just funny that you put learning new things because I hate learning new things, but I love to discover things. But learning just makes me think of bookwork. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, learning new things, but in a fun, easy way.
No, I love your word. So, you know, maybe one of your value is not learning, it's discovery.
Oh, okay.
Because it has to be things that resonate for you.
Gotcha.
So if learning doesn't resonate, we don't put that on the list.
Okay.
Off the list. Okay. So that's what you do. You make this list. You just, you know, you brainstorm everything out. You don't judge it. Don't edit it. Just get it on a piece of paper. And then you can go back kind of like we did and sort through what's there and what resonates and what doesn't.
That's really fast, I got to tell you. So now that I know what my values are, what do I do with them?
Yeah. So there's a bunch of things you can do with them. The first thing is if you're ever feeling a little off or if you're on that hamster wheel, you can look for places where you might not be honoring them. So for example, you know, I'm going to keep bringing this up, but one of my values is philanthropy. And so I might look to see, you know, where I'm not honoring that. Like, where am I not actually bringing that into my life? So that's one way. And that starts to talk about alignment, which we're going to get to. The other thing is you can use it as a filter for decision making. So if you're kind of on the fence about something, think about how it fits into your values. So for example, I had a client who was thinking about doing a renovation to their house. They were going to build an additional bedroom. And two of their values, one was being responsible with money, so responsibility. The other one was family. And they were trying to make the decision. Do we do a renovation? Do we not? It's a lot of money. And they were worried that they weren't being responsible in making this financial decision. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, what is the addition really for? Is it just to have a bigger house? And they said, no, it's so our family can all stay under one roof for the holidays.
Well, then, yeah.
Then, yeah. Decision made. Because, you know, so that's the perfect example that you can sort of see how your decisions can be filtered through values.
I like it.
Yeah. And then the next, you know, the big thing that sort of gets us to our next piece of this puzzle is writing a personal impact statement.
Oh, okay. So how does that go? That sounds hard.
Well, the first thing is you have to buy into that it's something important to do. So this is where you take your values and you figure out what's the outcome. So great, you one of your values is family, but how does that manifest itself in your life? And you know, what difference do you want to make? Who do you want to make it on? What area of your life? You know, it sort of goes back to what we had talked about a couple episodes back about your why.
Okay.
It's how do you make your why more explicit?
Like, you know, kind of getting down where I want to spend my time. Like, do I want to move closer to family? Do I want to spend more hours a week with family? Do I want to help them make dinner once a week? That kind of thing.
So one step above that, probably. So family is one of mine. So one of my impact statements is I want to be a good role model for my nephews.
Okay.
So that's sort of the impact statement. Then when I get down to the next step where I'm actually sort of implementing, then it's like, all right, how do I do that? So this is just one step above the actual to-do list.
And when you're saying that you want to be a role model, do you think about ways then that you need to, because it's a very open-ended statement.
Super open-ended.
Yeah.
Yep. That's a big umbrella. A lot of different things can then fall under that.
Right. So you have to get specific about how you want a role model?
Yes. So that sort of happens when we get to, am I in alignment? How, and then the vision. So the vision is where we really get the to-do list.
So I keep jumping ahead.
Yeah. That's okay.
All right. You lead me. Where are we?
I'm going to take your jumping ahead to be that you're just really excited to get to the good stuff. Just one quick thing to say about impact statements, because you actually alluded to it earlier when you said, I feel like I should say blah, 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 blah. If I should is at the beginning of any of those statements, cross it off and don't feel bad about it. These are your personal, unique things.
Sorry, family, you're out of luck.
There are no shoulds in this game.
Okay.
Some other things you can do that are kind of fun before we jump into the now what. It can be really fun to sort of sit down and write a script for your 100th birthday party. You can write, like, this is what I want to hear people toast me that I've done or accomplished or how I've impacted them. Another exercise that's a bit more morbid is writing your eulogy. So those are other ways to sort of creatively think about what impacts you want to make.
In the outline that you had sent to me before we started this recording, I saw my queen's name in the notes. So let's not skip over that. Let's talk about Oprah. Come on now.
Well, so I was curious. So I was looking to see what famous people have said about their own purpose or impact statements. And one of Oprah's is to be a teacher and to be known for inspiring my students to be more than they thought they could be.
Oh, I want to steal that one. I like
that's a good one. That is a good one.
Well, it's Oprah.
She's the best. That's actually a great segue, because from Oprah's impact statement, we can jump right to the next step, which is to dream.
Okay.
And so, I mean, I wish I knew Oprah. I don't. But I imagine she took that statement and said, okay, now what? What do I do with that? And I believe one of the things that she did was started a school for girls.
Okay.
And so that's part of her dream. And that would be part of this step dream where we're actually creating the vision. This is how you actually implement your impact statement.
This is the work part, right?
I need to call it dreaming more than the working, but yes, it's we're getting to the actual to-do list.
There's going
to
be a downside, Abby. I'm going to find
know.
It, okay?
You did.
I do. But, you know, this is work that we're excited about. It's work. It's our purpose. It's what we are feeling we are put on earth for. So we want to do it.
Exactly. And I think the more you can really flesh these things out and make it almost like a movie in your head, the more inspiring and motivational it is. So for Oprah, instead of just saying, I'm going to start a girls' school, you know, she probably sat down and had in her mind exactly what it would look like and the kind of girls that she would be helping and the things that they would teach. And that's where it gets exciting.
Mm-hmm. So tell me more of the process then.
So basically you sit down and you take your values and your impact and you say, all right, how do I actually want to see this play out? And again, I think that brainstorming is super helpful. So just get everything on paper without judging, because we all have that little voice. And I'm sure Oprah did too, who was like, who are you to start a girls' school? Well, she's Oprah. I'm sure she knew.
She didn't ask that at that point.
But
kind of,
you know,
kind of like a brain dump, right?
Like a brain dump, and a brain dump without the little gremlin on your shoulder saying you can't do that.
Right.
That'll never work.
The hardest part.
I know. You just got to get it all out on paper and dream big. You can always scale back. You're leaving something on the table though, if you start small.
Okay. Sounds good. So it looks like maybe your vision starts to change over time.
It does. And that's a good thing, because it means that you're evolving, your life's evolving. You know, maybe you've checked some things off. Like, for example, my original vision was to start a fund here at Aberys called AFG Charitable. We were going to help women and children, first responders and military and the environment. So that's now been up and running. And I'm so lucky to have that for 6 years now. And so now it's ready to, I'm ready to iterate on that vision. Like what's next beyond that? So, you know, things change and you check things off, and, you know, some things are great and you want to iterate on them. Some things you do and you're like, nope, did that and I'm good. Moving on.
Okay. So it's like a reassessment period.
Exactly.
Okay. So are we at design yet? Can we start talking about design?
We can start talking about design. So design is where we've got your values, we've got your impact, we've got your vision. Now what? So the first thing we do is to see how your life is currently aligned with those things. So we look at what we call the five levers, and the five levers are your five buckets of resources. So we have them as time, health, finances, relationships, and mindset.
Okay. How do you go about assessing these five levers? Is that what you said?
Levers?
Yeah.
I say levers, but I've heard other people say levers too. So we can go with either.
All right. Let me have them.
All right. So we start with taking, we take each of the levers and we rank them. So for example, we look at time. And we have a tool for this that we're going to attach to the show notes.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So you look at time, and on a scale of 1 to 10, how aligned with your vision? We'll start with vision because that's more of a discrete sort of to do. How aligned is that with your vision? So if my vision is to to iterate on my charitable fund, I want to create a private foundation. Am I spending any time doing that? So if I have that on my vision board and I'm spending zero time doing it, then I'm going to give that probably a zero.
Okay.
If I am spending what I consider to be an adequate time moving that project forward, that might be like an 8 or 9.
Okay.
So you start sort of ranking all of the levers against your vision. And then wherever you think that there's a big discrepancy, then you can do some more work within that lever. So for example, if we took time and I had I had given myself like a 1 or 2, then I could do an exercise that I really like, which I just call the ideal day, week, and year. So I just map out, you know, if I could wave a magic wand, what would my ideal day, week, and year look like? And then I compare that to what's actually happening.
Okay. So if something isn't in alignment, then
what's one thing you can change to get one step closer? Remember, change is not going to all happen overnight. Like, you're not going to go from your day to day to your ideal day tomorrow in perpetuity. I wish it worked that way.
I do too.
So keep it simple. Baby steps. What's one thing you can do to move yourself forward in that area?
Okay. Now, you mentioned before that visions evolve.
Mm-hmm.
So how often do you repeat this process?
This is the lather, rinse, repeat story. You need to keep doing it. So I recommend, unless something comes up, obviously, that would be reason to reevaluate it sooner. I think it's important to look at this every 12 to 18 months. Because okay. Otherwise you're back on the hamster wheel. You're kind of got back into that repetitive pattern. And yeah, it was probably a better one than you had before, right. But you've lost that intentional piece to it.
So we've kind of checked out once again.
You've checked out once again. Exactly. Right.
So what is probably one of the important things to do as you go through this process to make sure that you recognize the accomplishments that you're making?
Thank you for bringing that up. That it is so important to celebrate your wins. So, so, so important. So, I mean, you can do a lot of things. I like to do like a gratitude journal. So every morning I like to be grateful for something. And if I can tie that in to, you know, value, vision, or impact, that's awesome. You can also do things like on New Year's Day, just write a list of all the great things that happened during the year. A lot of people would be surprised how many great things are on that list and they've just sort of already forgotten about them.
I think women are terrible at celebrating themselves. And I say we throw ourselves a party.
I love that idea.
Do something big. You know what I mean? Like, a man would be like, all right, let's go have drinks to celebrate the big deal. We're like, okay, well, we got that done. What's next?
Exactly. And it's important not to always be on the what's next, what's bigger, what's better. How do I top myself? It's really important to celebrate the wins and also give yourself permission to rest too. Yeah,
absolutely. We're not working all this hard so we can continue to work this hard. We want to relax a little bit in between.
Well, we don't have time to get into this, but remember that one of the levers is health.
Right.
And so there's absolutely an element of rest, rejuvenation in that lever. Because mm-hmm. if you don't have that, you're not going to be able to make the impact you want to make.
And you know, it's funny. I'll bring a little personal aside in here is that I've been sick for the last week or so. And it's gone on much longer than I anticipated. Mm. Now, I was away on a vacation and I was nonstop from morning until night for about 5 days straight, flying an airplane home. And I had all these things to do this week, but my body was going, we need you to relax and rest a little bit. And that's what I have been forced to do because I wasn't doing it myself.
Yeah, your body tends to make you pay if you don't listen.
Yeah, so you gotta be in tune with that kind of stuff.
Definitely. And realize it is important to get where you want to get. A lot of people think rest is lazy or rest isn't in service of the bigger picture. And it absolutely is.
Mm-hmm. So in summary, what are we taking away from today's episode?
To get off the hamster wheel. To set the intention to get off the hamster wheel.
Unless you're a hamster, of course.
Well, I mean, even he or she should probably get off it every now and then.
I'm sorry. I try to be funny. I try. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it does not. So where can listeners get started?
So we have a bunch of resources for you in the show notes. We have a graphic of our model of authentic wealth that you can check out. We have that five lever assessment, and we also have a deck of value cards, which we didn't really talk too much about how to use those, but it's a deck of 100 or so cards. They have different values on them, and you try to whittle the deck from 100 values down to your 10 most important. So that's kind of a cool exercise if you want to do something different to work on clarifying your values.
Which is good because a lot of people have not really put a lot of thought into it. So it gives a lot of ideas.
It gives you a lot of ideas and you realize truly how little thought you've given it, because it's really hard to get down from 100 to 10 because they all sound, for the most part, they all sound good. So it really forces you to figure out what your top, whatever, 10, 15 are.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. So if we have more questions and we want to know more about this, how do we get in touch with you?
So many ways. First of all, we have a website. It's www.aberisfinancialgroup.com, and there'll be a link. Email. I love email. Abby@aberisfinancialgroup.com. And then, of course, our favorite social media, Facebook. Both the company Aberis Financial and me specifically, Abby Henderson, trusted financial advisor and coach. And then you can also find me at LinkedIn.
All right. Sounds good. Looking forward to the next episode. I'm going to do some dreaming in the meantime.
I can't wait to hear what you come up with.
All right. Well, thank you. And thank you for listening today. Please like, follow, and share this podcast with your friends. Until next time. I'm Wendy McConnell.
Thank you for listening to the Wealth Beyond Riches podcast. Be sure to visit our website at www.aberisfinancialgroup.com. And don't forget to click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. The opinions voiced in Wealth Beyond Riches with Abby Henderson are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Wealth Beyond Riches are not affiliated with CWM LLC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.